So good. Thank you. Way to end the year. What a year we've had. True? Amen or oh my. Not sure which one it is. As I look back over the year, we think of a lot of personal wonders and corporate wonders. When I say corporate, I mean us. We've had a great year here at the church. So many lives changed, so many people healed, so many growing, so many coming that are new. There are many of your faces we didn't know even existed at this Sunday last year. And now it feels as if, how did we ever get along without you? Because now you're here and a part of the family. For Sandra and I, it's been great. We've had two weddings and a baby announcement in 2017. It's been a busy one. And as much as it's been wonderful, it's kind of like, okay, no more. Can we take a break in 2018 and get a little breather? But it's been so, so good. There are some things that maybe you don't know about that happened here at the church. Well, one thing you know about for sure is that we finally, after 30-some-odd years, have a parking lot we can drive in. And it's so good. We finished that off and spent a chunk of money. But there's one thing you don't know that I'm so excited to tell you. And we'll explain more as the year goes on. But in 2010, we took out a loan that was a 30-year loan and to redo everything. If you haven't been here since then this is all you know. Can I just tell you that before 2010, the buildings didn't look like this. Okay, think 1970s red and stuff. And it just wasn't that great. But that 30-year loan, we're looking like we're going to be able to pay that loan off in its entirety by the end of 2018. Isn't that awesome? So exciting. So exciting. So from 30 years to 9 years, and that's by the faithfulness of your giving as well as the good stewardship of your leadership here at the church. The church board, and they deserve the lion's share of the credit for that. And we were able to cut that in half this year and then looking forward to the end of next year, paying that off. So God's been good to us. So good. As a nation, a bit tumultuous, would you agree? That the first year of the presidency of Donald Trump has been interesting. I know there are varying opinions across our nation. There are varying opinions in this room. But it's been interesting. There's been political upheaval from all across, from coast to coast, but even as it's found its way into sports, as there's the NFL kneeling for the anthem, and some agreed and some did not agree, and it just brought tensions. It brought conflict. Lately, in the last two and a half months, the revelation of so much sexual misconduct in the entertainment industry, and the Me Too movement. Mass shootings, probably the most significant, the one in Las Vegas that just devastated and broke hearts. Horrible things done by hopeless people. Hurricanes and floods, but then the heroic efforts of people moving to bring hope and help. And we were a part of that as we supported our relief effort through Convoy of Hope. And so great to see first responders that we would fund to help those that were so desperately in need. Our own fires in California, in our wine country, and now in Southern California, and some of our people here were affected. Some of us had childhood memories and homes that were in that area that just were devastated. A lot of things went wrong this year. A lot of things went right. A lot of things were tough. Even on television, the Oscars couldn't get it right, naming the wrong movie for the best movie of the year and having to correct themselves and turn around and go the opposite way. Our baseball and football teams, I won't even talk about. But we still got the Warriors. We still got the Warriors, and they did it right. It's been an interesting year. It's been tough, but good at the same time. What does the church do in times like these? When there is chaos and conflict and struggle, difference of opinion, confrontation, tension, anxiety. What does the church do when we're in a place like this? Well, God says what we do is we do what he told us to do more and more. Babe, if you'd hand me my clicker, I left it there on my chair. Sorry. Thank you very much. That was just my excuse of getting her up front again. What does the church do What the church does is love more and more. That's what the church does. You might say, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Housing prices are going crazy. The traffic is getting more and more congested. Life is tough. It's tougher to find work, or at least work that will help me get into a place to live. And what do we do? Church, listen, let me tell you what we do. We do what Jesus told us to do. And we do it more and more. That's what we do. We're concluding the year of Love Does. And what we need to do is just love more and more. So how do we do that? It's really not that difficult. What did he say? Keep doing that. And do it more. And do it more. And go further. You see, we just celebrated Christmas. And it's easy, and I feel it. It's easy to have the big bang and then to settle back into normalcy again. We even kind of want to get back into normalcy, right? The holidays come and it's busy and it's kind of hectic and we kind of yearn for when can we get back to normal? And that even happened in the Bible. There was the big bang of Jesus's coming, at least from a scriptural perspective and from those that were drawn in to that scenario, the shepherds and the angels and the wise men and so on. And there was the big bang of Jesus's coming, and then there's a 2-year gap when the Magi show up to visit Jesus. And then after that, there's a 10-year gap until we see Jesus again as a 12-year-old in the temple. And then an 18-year gap. And in those gaps, life settled back into a normalcy. Now, God was still working out his plan. But to the general population, it just went back to life as normal again. Life is just even. You know, God has a plan. And that plan of God is for us not to just slip back into normalcy, but to grow. To keep moving forward. That our goal here and our goal of every Christian should be that at the end of 2018, I want to be deeper, richer, more intimate, more close, more knowledgeable with God and of God than I am on this Sunday, December 31st, 2017. And hopefully you're beyond today where you were last year. Now I know for some, the reality is that there may have been some regression. Maybe things were difficult for you. Times were tough and there was some slipping back a little bit. Maybe you lost a little handle on your disciplines, which then has an effect on your relationship with your Savior. But here we get to start again and to start afresh and to re-engage and kind of recalibrate our thinking and recalibrate our hearts and our devotions to the Lord. We want to go more and more. And in 2018, our goal is to do that and to reach deeper. That phrase more and more is found in the scripture. It's an interesting phrase in that it's a unique one to the Apostle Paul. And I want to put up some scripture and I'll read it. Follow along with me out of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Scripture reads this way. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this, what? More and more. For you know what instruction we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for such sins as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject men, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so, what? More and more. 2 Thessalonians, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing, what? Out of love. And the love of every one of you has each other. And the love of each one of you has for each other is increasing. 3 times in these 2 short letters, Paul uses the phrase more and more. And it's unique in his writing that it shows up here in these 2 letters. Now, the first letter of the Thessalonians
Paul, or rather the background of this is that Paul went and founded a church in Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. He had three of those journeys. On the second, he finds himself in this city, and when he comes there, he wins a few people to Christ, but in the midst of that, there was tremendous and violent opposition. Great persecution and resistance to the gospel. Yet, a few people gave their hearts to Jesus, which became the start of this little church in the city of Thessalonica. So as they are starting to grow and starting to develop, Paul writes his first letter to them to encourage them, to tell them to keep going and to keep living the way they're supposed to live. And in fact, do what you're doing more and more. There was a problem, however, that in that letter, he included some verses and some lines about the coming of Christ. And in reading that, and then the talk about the letter in the city, there became an error that occurred that some were teaching and thinking that the coming of Christ had already occurred. And they thought they missed it, that something went wrong. And so Paul writes a second follow-up letter to, in fact, ensure them, no, Jesus hasn't come back yet. Don't worry, you didn't get left behind, but he is coming. And the time is urgent. So in the context of the coming of Christ, in the context of his imminent return, then you say, well, maybe he didn't get that part right. The imminent return is now 2,000 years after. Can I just tell you that no matter where you are, no matter what position you find yourself in, the coming of Jesus Christ is always, or rather our seeing Jesus face to face is always imminent because our lives are fragile. Amen? We don't know our own timetable. We don't know when the last breath is to be breathed. Seeing Jesus is always imminent. And his second coming, if Paul was urgent 2,000 years ago, how much more urgent ought we to be today? More and more urgent. So this is the context of what Paul is saying. When you see the things happening that are the things that precede Jesus' coming, live for him more and more. Church, it's more urgent today than ever before. And it doesn't take too much wisdom to look at our culture and realize that Jesus' coming is close. I read a lot of books on leadership, a lot of books on church growth. And one thing that the books often say is that you must see new people coming to Christ to keep the energy and to keep the excitement. And I get that. We're about ready to have a grandchild, Lord willing, in about 5 weeks. And there's so much excitement for this little one to come. And we've got a baby boom here at Abundant Life. And it's so much fun to see the new parents and the new kids. And a few weeks ago, we had them all up on stage and Emily led them in the performance. And it was so fun to see. And the kids just bring life and energy. But as sweet as those kids are and as much as they're growing, they ought not to be the ones who fuel the church with energy and passion in a spiritual sense. It's actually those of us that have known Jesus the longest. Because Paul said that we ought to be loving and pleasing and going deeper, what? More and more. Is Jesus a finite relationship? He isn't. Is the knowledge of him exhaustible? Never. Here's what I know. The more I know about Jesus, the more I realize I don't know. The more I understand about him, the more I understand the vastness of who he is. It's like taking a sailboat into the Pacific and you get out maybe a mile or two until you lose sight of the land and then look out and realize, oh man, I've just started. There is more to know about God. And the more we know him, the more that ought to fill us with a passion and an energy and a richness and a depth. And so I want to suppose to you that the energy of the church, as exciting as new birth is, maybe ought to be brought by those of us that have been around the longest. Amen? That young people, go find a Christian in the church that's been around for 20, 30, 40. We've got some believers here, 50, 60 years. Go find them and find out the richness and the depth from those that have been around longer. They may not be as giddy and emotionally you know, ecstatic as the young ones, because the young ones just are crazy that way. But there's a depth and a richness, because it's more and more as we find more of Him and grow more in Him. Paul says in this passage, on the three times he says more and more, he says, I urge you. I urge you. This is begging language from the Apostle Paul. This is, if you do nothing else, do this. I urge you. I implore you. This is important. This is like top drawer. I'm begging you, do these things and grow more and more. Don't let yourself grow relaxed. Don't hunger for the normal so much that you dispose of the supernatural. Don't hunger for comfort so much that we lose the awesomeness of a relationship with God, and the mystery and the excitement and even the uncertainty, in the sense of we don't know what He's going to do next type of life. But let's go more and more. And in this passage, he says more and more with three things in mind. The first is that we please God more and more. The second is that we love each other more and more. And the third is that our faith grows more and more. So let's talk about how to live this more and more life. Number one, the more of Jesus, the better. Please Him. The more of Jesus, the better. Please Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 and 2. We've already read it, but let's read it again. Now read it with me this time, would you? We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of Jesus Christ. More of Jesus is better. Amen? More and more of Jesus will always, always, always be better. I know this, that the more I learn about a specific skill or a talent or something, the better I am. The more I learn about a hobby or a skill, music or whatever it may be, the more and more I study, the more and more I dig in, the more and more I experience, the better I am at it. The more and more I develop or I devote to my relationships, the closer they get. The more I spend time with my wife and my kids and my friends and you, the deeper we get. The spending time, it's more and more. And the more we get of Jesus, the stronger we'll be. The closer we'll be. And this works the same in life. Much as we have our wonderful little babies in the church, these little ones don't have a clue really yet. The parents are all in the back section back there. Aren't you enjoying the staying up at night and the changing the diapers and cleaning up the slobber and carrying all the gear and the eternal smell of desitin on your hands and on your clothes and all the stuff? And it takes 15 minutes just to get in the car and go. And it gets better, trust me. It's okay. I mean, this is good. But it gets better. They get to a place when they cry at the beginning. And when they cry, they want food or they want to be changed. Pretty simple. Or they want some affection. They get a little older and they say, would you cook me something? And then the response is, you got two hands. You know where the fridge is. Your room's a mess. Go in and get in there. Right? Parents, you get that. That they grow up. And now for us, the kids are off the payroll. It's awesome. They're done. Married off. That last bill is paid. Have a good time. More time, more expendable income. It's awesome. Now, the job has been done, and we have even more closeness. Now, the kids are more of our friends than they are ones we need to take care of. How cool is that? To have as your closest friends your kids. It gets better because it's more and more. The more it goes, the better it gets. The further it goes, the nicer it gets. And each stage is nice. But more and more is better. But here's what I know. You've got to maintain that. You have to maintain it. How many know that hot water turns lukewarm really easy? Doesn't it? And you don't have to work at it. Just leave it alone. And it will get cool all by itself. How many know that you don't have to plant weeds in your lawn? Anybody know that? You don't have to go out and plant weeds. They just come. It's automatic. They show up and you've got to work hard at keeping them out of your yard. How many know that you grow old all by yourself? And you got to work at it, right? You got to work and go and take care of yourself and eat right and do all those things. It's true. The things that are good, you got to work at. The deterioration happens automatically. And church is no different spiritually. Our spiritual relationship with God and our spiritual fortitude and strength, it needs to be maintained. Like all relationships need to be maintained. You've got those friends, and maybe you received a Christmas card from them this year, and you realize, oh man, we haven't, it's been a while since we connected, and you just kind of lost track. And if you're not careful, you can lose track for a decade or two until what was once a very vital close relationship has been reduced to a memory because it just wasn't maintained. Somebody didn't make the call. Somebody didn't write the email. Somebody didn't keep it alive. The same is with God. We've got to maintain this. You've got to feed. You have to invest. It's important. And God is always there, and He's always willing, and He's always ready. We want to do this from the get-go. Julius mentioned the devotional. We've got some hard copies that look like this. I like hard copies. I like to feel it, and I still read the newspaper. I know some of you are like, what's the newspaper? It comes to your door every day, and you get black print on you, and it's great. I just love that. I don't read my news on the computer. I like to just feel it. If you want a hard copy, this devotional will get you started every day in the month of January. And it's been written by 31 authors in our church. And it's really fun to watch or to read the thoughts of somebody else in the church body. But it also gets you in the Word every day. So you can make sure your email is correct. If you haven't got your email invitation yet, make sure the church office knows that and they can get you one or pick up a hard copy. Also, we've got these in your bulletins today. And it's just a very, very simple little daily Bible reading program that will get you through the entirety of the Scripture in 1 year. If you've never read the Bible through, this is your year. Let's go more and more, shall we? Let's go further. Let's go deeper. Let's fill ourselves with the Word of God, because more of Jesus is better. And when we do these things, we please Him because He wants relationship with us. Maybe your disciplines have been a little bit lax. Why not make this year the year when you revive those? I know you want to exercise more. I know you want to eat right. I know you want to manage your money better. I know there's all these things that you're making resolutions about. But let there be one that tops them all. And that is, this is the year I'm going to dig in like never before and learn God's Word and invest myself and pray more often. And we're going to do that more and more here at the church. This is the year we're going to upgrade our prayer meetings. We're going to pray together much more often this year. We're going to seek God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in people's lives more and more this year. We've got, Julius was up doing the announcements. Many of you may not know that he's taken on the responsibility of our outreach director for the church. We're going to more and more reach out in the community like never before. And once the debt is finally paid off, there'll be a ton of accessible income that we can pour into evangelistic efforts more and more, because that's what God called us to do. More of Jesus is better. Amen? Do you believe that for your life? It's one thing to say, yeah, we're doing that at the church. It's another thing to do it on your own. And to be a more and more believer, a more and more follower in your life with Christ. Number two, less of me is more. Love others. More of Jesus is better. And less of me really means more of knowing Christ. Here's what the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians. Let's read it together. You yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, do so more and more. I urge you, do it more. If you loved in 2017, do it more in 2018. Go deeper, go further, reach out more, be the first inviter more and more. Make the first step more and more. With God, less is more. We sometimes sing songs, you know, I want more of you, Lord. I want, and you know, really theologically, that's not right. Because when we accepted Christ, God didn't give us like a cup full of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then we've got to just kind of get another cup and another cup. And maybe on a really powerful revival time, we get a gallon of Jesus. And then we slowly, slowly, slowly grow. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. You don't get part of a person. You get the whole person. The issue is we've got too much of us. What we need is less and less of us. And I'm not talking about substantial, like, what do you do? Cut off a hand? No, it's releasing our control. I'm going to control less. I'm going to govern and trust my own intuition less. I'm going to trust His more. I'm going to faithfully follow more. I'm going to obey more. It's about Him more and about us less. John the Baptist said it. I must decrease, He must increase. And he didn't mean more of Him. He meant that struggle between who's in charge. It's less of us and more of Him. I find out that the more I have of Jesus, the less I have of myself, that makes it able for me to love others more. When I am decreasing, my passion and my sensitivity to others increases. And I've seen it go up and down. When I get a little self-absorbed and I'm kind of in an all-about-me mode, I lose my sensitivity for other people. You probably felt that yourself. But when I'm particularly close to God and He's just, and I'm decreasing myself, I find this increasing of sensitivity to others. And the desire, not just the awareness, but the desire to reach out and to touch other people and to love others as Paul urged us to do so more and more. Now, this is a little tricky now in our culture, that when we start talking about loving others, there's this kind of weird thing, and it's even finding itself seeping into the church, where when we talk about loving others, what we really are trying to say is that we must agree with others, make everybody feel comfortable, and just be okay with whatever life that they're in, because we got to love them. And loving them means not confronting them. Can I just tell you, that's not going to help anybody. I read an article in the Mercury. It was on the front page, so apparently it meant a lot to the writer. And it caught my attention because the headline was, Living Life More Like Jesus. I thought, that's in the newspaper? So I read that article, and I got into it, and it was an article written about a video that a Santa Clara Jesuit named Father O'Brien put out, and the video talked about living life like Jesus, and that Jesus would live a life of love, and He would not be confrontational. And I read that, and I went, does He not know the end of the story? Did He miss, like, the whole picture? Because Jesus didn't get put on the cross by being non-confrontational. You don't get crucified because you're just accepting everything and everybody. How many know that the light in the darkness is confrontational? It's what it is. You don't help anybody just by saying, well, let everybody live the way they're going to live. It's just okay because we want to love you. No, love tells the truth. Parents, you know this, right? You tell your children, no. And if you step over the line, I'm going to show you what love really is. Because you don't want them to grow up being jerks. True, right? I don't want my kids to grow up being jerks. I want them to be good people. So we're going to have some confrontations because I love you. And that means hard times sometimes. Jesus lived that. And I read this article and I went, this is just crazy. How is this getting into our church or the church in general? Now that's where it gets a little dicey. Because we say, yeah, let's be confrontational. And that's when we swing to the other side. We don't set out just to get in people's faces all the time. Amen? We set out to love in the truth. And the truth does not mean my particular opinion about the truth. Follow? How many know Jesus is not a Democrat? Heaven knows Jesus is not a Republican. Jesus hasn't signed up for any party. Jesus hadn't signed up for any nationality. He's not a citizen of any country. He's God. He's above all of that. And when we get our personal opinions interwoven with God's truth, we have a manipulation. So as we love, we will have confrontation, but the confrontation should only happen when it's about God's truth. And I don't mean a fight over who's right and who's wrong, but a loving confrontation that says, you're going to die, and I'm trying to save you. We sang it over and over in our choruses. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. That's what Jesus came to do. And if we have a motivation in us, in our confrontation of being right, then we're Pharisaic. And that religion will destroy, not build up. But when we have as our motivation the saving love and the redemption of God's work, then we can speak the truth and that love will set people free. So when we talk about love, let's be wise and let's be honest and let's be clear and not get our own agendas in the way. More of God is better. Less of me is better. We need to do that more and more. And finally, number three, more and more is the never-ending discovery of an infinite God. It's our growing faith. 2 Thessalonians, let's read it together. Your faith is growing, what? And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Your faith is growing. As your faith grows, the natural reaction is that you love more. I've learned this about growing faith. This doesn't mean suddenly you're going to be able to do phenomenal, miraculous signs and wonders. We all like that. I would love to see more of that. I'd like to see more people healed miraculously. I'd like to see more of the supernatural, but I know if I crave the supernatural, I'll miss the foundation. The foundation is obedience to Christ. If you want to be on the growth track in your faith, start obeying in everything. Jesus preached that in the book of Luke when he said, you know what? The essence of faith is just to do what I told you to do. You don't need more faith just to obey me. But when you learn to obey me, you're laying the foundation of supernatural faith. I firmly believe that the reason why we don't see more miraculous things is because we still haven't built this firm foundation of obedience. When we obey more and more, we're laying the foundation of that which is supernatural. And it just makes good sense, right? Why would God do supernatural things for a disobedient people? Now, he may do some signs and wonders as a revelation, but I mean, in the lives of those who claim to believe in him, I really feel a bit hypocritical when I say to God, God, I really need you to do this miracle when I know I've been untrue. In the same way that I would not bless my children when they've been disobedient. No, you get disciplined when you're disobedient, not an extra blessing. And God is a good father. We want our faith to grow. We start with the daily consistent obedience. And I know as I'm perusing my 2017 and looking back and evaluating it, that there are some areas in 2018 that I need to obey more and more. I would imagine you do too. As we learn to obey and as we grow, we will find our faith growing. As our faith grows, we find our love for each other growing. And it goes right back to the first statement, and that is, are we in God's word every day? Is it vital? Is it rich? Is it true? Do you wake up, I got to get into God's word. It's so good. Or is it, oh man, like this religious burden that you can fit in if you can, if you have time. And then pretty soon you're into February and realizing you're back where you were again. Let's make this year the year where we dig in more and more. Where God is, there's more of Jesus, which is better. There's less of us, which is better. And that grows by our simple obedience every day. When we do those things, church, we'll find our relationship with God growing more and more. And we'll see our light shining brighter than it ever has before. 2018 is going to be a great year. Not because I hope so, but because God is God. And as we seek Him, as we obey Him, as we fill ourselves with Him, and as we decrease, it's just His nature that we will more and more see people's lives transformed by the love of Christ and see the wonder of His hand work amongst us. I'm ready to go more and more. Are you? Let's do this together. Sean, would you come on up? Let's wrap up today. Before you leave today, make sure that you're signed up to receive the devotional blast on your email, or make sure you grab a hard copy. Don't worry, it gets better. It really does. Eric doesn't ever do that anymore. It just, it gets way better. I lost my train of thought. Where was it? Oh yeah, devotionals. Pick up your hard copy if you don't do it on email. Every day, church. This, and I know some of you are thinking, whoa, if I'm in my Bible every day, I'll be like super Christian. No, you'll be normal. Okay? That's the baseline, okay? That's not wow. That's normal stuff. But as you dig in, you'll start to grow more and more. And you'll start to be sensitive to people more and more. And as you pray, the hunger will grow more and more. Here's what I know. It's like exercise. To start is difficult, but once you get in, you crave it. Once you start your prayer life going, you're going to crave it. And that's going to become the sweetest time of your day. It really, really will. Because God will meet you. He will meet you. He'll talk to you. And there'll be days when you'll be praying and time will go by and you think, wow, that was the fastest hour I ever spent. I want to stay more. Because that's our God. He's really, really contagious and addictive, this God of ours. And we want that, amen? So I just want to pray for us together today on this last Sunday of the year. And let's go deeper. Let's hunger for more and more. Let's stand together, shall we? Father, I pray in Jesus' name, as we leave this year of 2017, and it's hard for me to even fathom, like, where did 2016 go? Or 2014? The years passed so quickly. But here we are facing 2018, and God, we know that You've already gone before us, and we want to live for You more and more. We want You to increase in our lives more and more. And we realize that that really means less of us more and more. And we want our faith to grow more and more as we obey You more and more. God, I thank You that You have given us all we need for a life of godliness and power. We just need to step into that. Lord, help us where we are weak. Encourage us where we are a bit emotionally or spiritually or mentally fragile. I pray, Father, that in all we do, it will be because of You. For Lord, You called us to follow You, and all You did was because of Your love for us. I thank You so much for this past year with all of its ups and downs. But I'm so excited, God, for next year, that we can go deeper and that we will learn to know You and love You and love others more and more. We give You the glory for this year, God. In the next few hours, we'll welcome in 2018. God, we want to enter in loving You more and more. We give You the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor Sean.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.